That's powerful. Good to see you all today. Thanks for coming to the house of the Lord to worship. We're just delighted that you're here with us today in the presence of the Lord. And oh, wasn't that just a powerful song we just sang? Wow. Right to my heart of what God is doing. Worthy, worthy are you, Lord. We're not worthy, but God is. He's so worthy of us. Would you take your Bibles with me? We're on the message, A Walk of Holiness. It's a continuation of last week's message. It's part two. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Did you lose me, Mark? Or are we there? Okay. Galatians chapter 5, it's page 975 in the red pew Bibles in front of you, chair Bibles. Page 975. Paul's been talking to the Galatian church about what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. Because in the Old Testament law, it was all about the law, and it was really walking by sight. Perform this thing, perform this, do this legal thing, and you'll supposedly be okay with God. But a change came when Jesus came here to earth. He brought a new covenant to us through the cross of Calvary. The law was broken in the Old Testament, and we've been given something new. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we've been given new freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says this, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery to the Old Testament law again. Don't go back to circumcision, he's telling them. Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is enough. Say that with me. Jesus is enough. Say this. Jesus is enough for me. Jesus is enough for me. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, since we're under something new, the cross and the blood of Calvary through Jesus Christ our Savior, Paul says, instead of walking under the law, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. See, there's this conflict, opposition going on inside of you. Verse 18. But he said, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Skip down to verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also then walk by the Spirit. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. It's page 943. Romans chapter 8, 2 years later, sometime between 2 and 3 years later, after the letter to Galatians, Paul wrote the letter to Romans. And this is what he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, essentially the very same message about the need to walk in the Spirit and about the opposition of the conflict that goes on between the flesh and the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 1, therefore, because of what Christ has done, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Mary's friend, Kristen, that she testified. There's no more condemnation for her. She's turned her life and her heart over completely to the Lord Jesus. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Exactly what he said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. You've been set free by Christ. Verse 3, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, you and me, And for sin, my sin and yours, he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. We read that in verse 16 of Galatians 5. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, Romans, Christian believers, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What that means is because Jesus was resurrected from the tomb and he is alive, and ascended to the Father, the right hand of the Father, you too, as a believer, having that new life in you by the Spirit, will rise from the dead and be resurrected too into the new life of eternal life in heaven with him. You have that to look forward to, the great resurrection. Let's finish this. Verses 12 to 14. So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Last week we started the message with this. 1 Peter 1:13 to 16, which is an invitation to walk with God in holiness and sanctification. It's an invitation because the God who's called you is holy, so we are called to be holy in how we live our lives every day of the week, every moment. We're called to be holy because the God who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We're called to a walk. That's what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We're to walk by the Spirit in an attitude of holiness. And that walk we defined last week is a long walk, a long journey through life. But you're not walking alone. You're walking with the third person of the Trinity of God himself, the person of the Holy Spirit. And we defined who the Holy Spirit was last week. He's pneuma. Jesus described him like the wind. He comes, you don't know where he is or where it arises, the wind comes from, but you hear it and you know that it exists. We described him as our helper from John 14, where Jesus said, when I leave, disciples, I'm going to send you another, the helper, the Holy Spirit. And he will have a twofold presence in your life. He will dwell in you, Jesus says, and he will dwell with you, around you, in your life as you walk the long journey through this life with him as a believer, born again, saved by the blood of Jesus. We defined him last week as our friend in John 14, 17. He's with us always, all the time. He's a friend that never leaves you. The Old Testament would say he's a refuge and a strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. We defined him last week as my God. Ananias and Sapphira, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit of God? He's God. He's a friend. He's the wind. He's the helper. He's the one who dwells in you. He's God himself. We described him last week. Paul said, but I say walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. Gratify means it's the sense of completion or fulfillment leading to the end of a journey. And what we said last week is the desires of your flesh, the lustfulness of your heart, the wanting to be full of pride, and the wanting of you to be in control and have power over your life, and the wanting that you want to say what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, it wants to end your journey in a ditch somewhere. And that's not the place you want to be. You don't want to be in the ditch at the end of your life without God and without the hope of Jesus Christ in your life. We said last week that the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, Paul said, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. In other words, there's this opposition that goes on in us all the time. But it's the Holy Spirit, our helper, and the God who indwells us that helps us defeat that flesh as we stand, as we prayed this morning, in the armor of God, and we take our stand on Jesus Christ, and we stand there by faith. And we walk that walk along with the Holy Spirit in this life. We said last week that if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You see, if we're led by the Spirit on a long walk, the emphasis isn't on me. The emphasis is on the one who is leading me, God himself, in the third person of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we need to have close, intimate fellowship and relationship with the Holy Spirit who's in us and with us. Let me be very, very honest with you this morning, because I think I speak on your behalf. In all honesty, there is nothing more that I want in my life than a close, close walk with God. Don't you? I mean, really. There's nothing I want more in my life than to know that I'm walking that holy walk of 1 Peter talks about. That I'm on the peripeteo. I'm on the walk of the long journey with God until that moment when he comes back and takes me home to the glory of heaven. There's nothing more I want than victory over my flesh. I hate my flesh. Don't you hate yours?
Yes.
And the things it drives you to do at times? And I just so want to be so intimate with the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in me that I don't want to give in to the flesh. That's not what I want. But sometimes I do. You know, it occurred to me this week that in order for you and I to understand this, we're going to have to get it down to a very, very practical element of understanding. But I don't think we can get there unless we understand the theological framework of what happens in my life when God takes up residence inside of me. And that's what we want to talk about for the next few minutes. The theological understanding to walking in the Spirit from God's perspective. Now, there's some terms that you and I should know and be fairly familiar with. Paul talked about it in Galatians chapter 5. Justification by faith alone in Christ. What is justification? Well, you can see the definition here. Justification is being declared right before God. Being declared holy. Being declared saved. Being declared born again. Being declared not guilty. Being declared no longer under condemnation, that Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says. And here Romans 8:33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? And the answer? Nobody can. Because it's God himself who justifies us. You see, here's what happens. When by faith I repent of my sin nature that I was born with, that I came into this world with, and when by faith I turn, as Kristen did, to Jesus Christ alone for my salvation, God declares me at that moment of faith justified in His sight before Him. And there's no better place to be than to be justified in the presence of Almighty Holy God. Justification is the free gift of God by grace to all who believe. Justification, being declared right before God. Here's a second term that I think it's really important that you and I understand. It's the term sanctification. Technically, it means the process that you and I are gradually, as believers in Jesus Christ, becoming more and more and more holy as we walk with the Holy Spirit on this long journey, being led by Him. The process of gradually becoming more holy. Paul says that our sanctification comes after our justification. But it's intimately connected to it. First the justification comes, then the sanctification, and they literally overlap each other in our life. Paul wrote to the Romans 2 years after Galatians in chapter 6, verse 22, "But now that you've been set free from sin, justified, and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end? Eternal life." It leads to sanctification, and the end result of that long walk with God in the Holy Spirit is eternal life. Well, I tried to draw a little diagram of this for you so you might better understand it. This blue circle represents your life and my life. And when by faith I give my heart trustingly to the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, three things happen. Number one, I'm immediately declared justified by God. He declares me, remember the definition, not guilty. I'm right with Him in His sight. Number two, immediately upon that moment of justification, something else happens. What Jesus said would happen in John 14. The Holy Spirit enters my life. Remember, I will send you another helper, the Holy Spirit, who will come and dwell in you. That happens at the moment God declares you not guilty, justified in His sight. And there's a third thing that happens immediately after justification, and it's sanctification. It's the process where we now begin the walk of holiness because we've been born again into the holiness of God as we walk that walk through this life. We're sanctified, the Scripture says, as Paul said in Romans 6:22. It leads to sanctification, and its end leads to eternal life. You see, at that point, Paul is talking to the Galatian believers when all this has happened. And he's saying to them, you have the Holy Spirit. And having begun that long walk with the Holy Spirit, you're now to continue to make progress in the sanctification that you've become, becoming more and more holy along the way. By that same Spirit is how that happens. Paul says in Romans 8, 1 and 2, we read that just a few moments ago, we're led by the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. We're no longer under condemnation. Isn't that great? I mean, what a glory hallelujah. What a rescue God has done for you and me when we trust Christ alone for my salvation. I mean, this is life transforming, people. This is life-changing. This is what the gospel does when it takes root in your life because you have believed it. It transforms us from being dead in our trespasses and sins and being alive to God in glory. Hallelujah. Therefore, as God challenges us and commands us as believers, as obedient children, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And Paul would write later on to the Colossian church, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So as to walk, there's that terminology, peripateo again, in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I think I told you this last week. Karen and I are reading a book called Shattered Dreams. In the book this week was a marvelous quote that Larry Crabb used from an old Carmelite priest. I don't know what a Carmelite priest is, but some kind of a priest. And the old Carmelite priest put it like this: where God finds space, He enters it. He enters it. Where God finds room for Himself, He comes in. I have a question for you this morning. Have you made space for God in your life? Have you opened your life and invited God through Jesus Christ to come in and take control and residence inside of you? Where God finds space, He enters in. You know what? The testimony that Mary gave us of Kristen, God entered in because Kristen gave Him space to come in. It's a marvelous story. Thank you, Mary, for sharing that this morning. You know what? That's exactly what God told Israel in the Old Testament. He said the exact same thing. He said it before the old Carmelite priest ever said it. He told Israel if they sought Him with all their heart, He would let them find Him. And they would, Jeremiah 29, 12, and 14. What does it require of us? This holy walk, this walk with the Spirit, what it requires of us is that we abandon ourselves, that we give up control of what matters most, and that we place our confidence in someone, listen to this, that we cannot manage. I can't manage Jesus Christ. I can't manage the Holy Spirit. And I can't manage the Father in heaven. We must be willing to give up control and allow the one we cannot manage to have full and complete control of us. You know, I know you got some honest questions inside of you. I have them too. You would probably say this morning in all honesty, Rich, I've listened to you now for going on 2 weeks about this walk with the Holy Spirit, and I really don't know how to take a long walk with the Holy Spirit of God. Rich, I just don't know how. Is that honest? Would you ask that question? I sure would. Here's another question. Rich, in all honesty, I'm not sure if I even sense His presence in my life when you say that He dwells inside of me. I'm not really sure I even sense His presence in my life, much less feel like He's leading me along in this path of a long journey. Honest question? You know what the answer to that those questions are? It's this. It's not what you and I feel. It's not what you and I feel that's important. It's what God says is true. And God says through his word to you and to me that the Holy Spirit does in fact, upon salvation, takes up residence inside of me when I trust by faith and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will send him to you another helper to live in you. That's the truth of the Word of God. Whether you feel it or not, take that feeling word out and put it on the floor and squash it like a bug. Because you cannot live in feelings. You have to live in truth with God. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great Welsh preacher, who said this, what matters most is not what I feel is true about myself at any moment, but what matters is what I know is true about God at every moment. And what we know to be true is what the Bible tells us. The Holy Spirit will come to us and to live in us. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's a guide. He leads us as we walk with Him. And we're invited, the Bible says, to walk with Him on this journey through this life into everlasting life forever and ever. That's what the Bible declares to be true. And you and I, whether we feel like it or not, must fully embrace that by faith, Paul would say to the Galatian church, because you're saved by faith, not by works. Ephesians says, lest any man should boast. And Hebrews would tell us, what is faith? Chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who come to Him by faith. The bottom line is this, that to walk in the Spirit is to fully embrace the truths of the Holy Spirit, not only of His existence, but also of His presence as Jesus declared Him to be. He's here. And as a believer, He's in you. And He's all around you. And He's inviting you to follow Him as He leads you sensitively through this life with God. You know what? I think we just need to pay attention to the warnings, though, because the warnings are there. I warn you, Paul said in Galatians 5:19, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, talking about the gratification of the flesh, and we're talking about the continual gratification of the flesh, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, when you choose not to believe, but rather indulge yourself and try to manage your own life, you're going to end up in the ditch. And Paul is saying to the Galatian believers, I'm warning you, friends, brothers, if you continue to try and walk under the law instead of in the freedom of Christ, if you continue to indulge your fleshly nature and gratify that and do the things that you're doing, you're going to end up in that ditch at the end of your life. John said the same thing. He confirmed Paul by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, and by this we know that we've come to know Him if we keep His commandments. There's how you know Him. If we desire to keep the commandments of God. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him, here comes that holy walk of sanctification. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. You see, we're easily deceived by our flesh. And I think one of those deceptions may be that you and I think we might be saved and we might be right with the Lord Jesus Christ when in fact we have not truly given Him our life. Don't be deceived. And if that's your situation where you're playing games with God, maybe you're mumbling the words of God, but your life is no testimony of it. I plead with you humbly, turn from the gratification of yourself and turn to the living Lord Jesus Christ, who will fill you with life and life more abundantly. Stop running away from God and run to Him by faith. Okay. Let's get as practical as I think I know how to get about all this. You know what? There's no manual that says, well, okay, this is how you do it. But there are truths in the Word of God that point us on the path to walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And this, I believe, these things, I believe, will help you and I get in touch with the truth. Number one, how do I walk in the Spirit? How do I walk with the Holy Spirit as He wants and desires to lead me through life? Well, again, I'm going to reinforce it. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk in your heart, believing God. You are believing God and nothing else but God alone. It's a walk of faith. And how do you do this? How do you grow and nurture that faith to believe God? Well, number one, spend time reading and studying the Bible. My friends, I implore you, open the Word of God to your life and taste and see how good God is for you and wants to be to you. Open the Word. Spend time reading. Get familiar with the stories of the true accounts in Scripture. Read in the Gospels. Like, start in the book of Mark. It's the simplest book in all the Gospels. Read through it several times and look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And pay attention to what Jesus says and commands there. And when you're done with Mark several times, jump into the book of John and look at the love of God poured out. And look at the love of Jesus. And look while Jesus talks to the disciples and what He specifically says to them about this walk of faith being led by the Holy Spirit. Start with the book of Mark and the Gospels, because you can't operate out of a dry well. You know, I think it's kind of interesting. Every year in San Carlos during the summer, they shut down the water for 2 or 3 days. Boop, they turn it off. Do you know why they do that? They do it intentionally. They warn us they're going to do it. They do it because they want to measure the amount of water that's still in the wells to see if there's going to be enough water to supply us and the other cities around us. You see, they know something. They get it. You can't operate a city out of a dry well. But I know many believers who are trying to operate out of a dry spirit, a dry well. They never open the Word of God. They never know and grow in grace and knowledge and truth of God. They never spend any time studying the Word of God. I just impress upon you, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, this is paramount. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding as you read. Here's the second thing. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk out loud to the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge His presence in you and with you in your life. I mean, really talk to Him. And walk with Him and talk with Him as you walk with Him. It's vitally important to talk to Him because it helps you acknowledge His existence inside of you. That's the value of not only prayer, but conversational prayer. That you talk to the Spirit of God. Third, Ask the Holy Spirit to help you love, and I've hit this topic very hard the last 2 weeks. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to love the people God brings into our life. Unconditional love. It doesn't mean you can pick and choose who you can love. We're called to love people around us. That's what Paul said in Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I believe with all my heart that if I'm going to walk with the Spirit in this life and be led by the Spirit, I have to openly ask the Holy Spirit to help me love the people around me. And I do. Constantly. You know why? Because there's that flesh that wants to rise up and hate sometimes and be bitter inside. But a walk with the Spirit is based on the foundation of love and nothing else. For God so loved the world, you and I, the most despicable, sinful people. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to have a heart of love for people. It will change you from the inside out. Fourth, ask Him to help you stop sinning. And ask Him to help you be holy. Ask for His help. You tired of that battle inside of you? Ask him to help you overcome the gratification of your flesh. Ask Him for help to walk a holy walk in this life. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us acknowledge our willful disobedience at times and confess that when He brings it to mind. And we need to ask Him to lead us in that path of holiness, because we desire to walk that walk. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you stop sinning. Fifthly, ask the Holy Spirit to help you bear fruit with your life. Ask for a desire inside of you to bear fruit for the Lord. For it's His glory. It's not for you. It's to bring glory and honor to God. And we'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks, what it means to bear fruit for God. And lastly, this one. Listen. Listen for the Holy Spirit's leading. And I find the scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, so significant to this particular truth. Remember that Hannah took her son Samuel, dedicated to the Lord. He took him to Eli the priest to live with Eli in the temple. And as Samuel was laying one night, he kept hearing this voice, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And he would quick get up and he would run into Eli's bedroom and he'd say, what do you want? And Eli would say, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And he went back to his bed and he laid down again and he heard, Samuel, Samuel. And he thought, okay. He'd get up, he ran into Eli's bedchamber again. And Eli said, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go back. It must be God. Go back and lie down and listen to God who wants to speak to you. And he did go back and he lied down. He laid down. And he said to the Lord in 1 Samuel 3:10, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I'm listening, Holy Spirit of God, to the call to walk with you in obedience, in holiness. God, you've declared me not guilty through justification by my faith. You've indwelt me with the Holy Spirit, and now you've called me on a holy walk in sanctification. Lord, speak, for your servant is listening to what you want to happen. Let me close with this. There was a 70-year-old man, his name was Charlie. He was an old farmer type guy. He'd drive around town in his pickup truck. One significant day, an event happened to him just like it happened to Kristen, as Mary testified. There came a day later in his life of all times, in all seasons, but it's just the grace of God. When he opened his heart and he said, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I want you as my Savior. Without you, I have nothing. I'm lost. And he opened his heart to Christ, and he began on this journey of being what the Scripture calls a disciple of Jesus. He began to try to walk with God in that sanctified walk. Well, he got a little frustrated as time went on. Because of that word feelings that we're supposed to stomp on, he just kept saying, I don't feel like I've saved sometimes. I just don't feel like there's victory in my life sometimes. Finally, out of his frustration, he went to see his pastor. He said, Pastor, I'm going to be very honest with you. He said, I've given my heart to Christ, you know that. But there's just some days I just constantly feel out of touch with God. I feel like I'm wandering here in this desert. And his pastor gave him some great wisdom and counsel that we all, I believe, need to hear. He looked him in the eye and he said, Charlie, you know you're saved, correct? Yes, Pastor, I know that. I've embraced that truth. I've made room for God in my life. He said, Charlie, this is what I want you to do. I notice you drive all around in your pickup truck. And I know that you are a widower. What I want you to do, Charlie, is I want you to treat the seat next to you in your pickup truck as if God was physically sitting in that seat with you, because he is, Charlie, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as you drive around in your pickup truck, Charlie, I want you to just talk to the Holy Spirit as if you were talking to your wife or your very best friend. Can you do that? He said, yeah, I can do that. He said, Charlie, when you go home, I know your house is empty. But he said, when you're sitting at night in your living room and you're all alone, I want you to look over at that chair, that empty chair in your living room, and I want you to talk to that chair, because the Holy Spirit's sitting in that chair with you, Charlie. I want you to have a real life conversation with him and interact with him. Can you do that, Charlie? I can do that. Every once in a while, the pastor would check on him. Charlie, how you doing? He said, I'm having a blessed time. He said, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. I sense his presence. I feel new vitality inside of me, that I'm not wandering so much in this wilderness by myself anymore, but that God's really with me. As time went on, Charlie got sick, and he was admitted to the hospital. And as a good pastor should and would do, he went to the hospital to visit Charlie, and he prayed with him and read him scripture. And just as he was about to walk out the door, Charlie said to the pastor, Pastor, can I ask you a favor? And he said, sure, Charlie, what? He said, would you take that chair over there against the wall, and would you bring it up alongside the bed? I want to talk to God. He said, every time the nurses come in, they move it back over against the wall. Would you bring the chair over here by my bed? And he did that. He made a couple more visits, the pastor did to Charlie, and every time it was the same. Pastor, would you bring the chair over to my bed? I want to talk to God. Charlie got worse physically. He died there in the hospital. When they found him the next morning, he was turned on his side, facing the chair that was up against the bed. And you know what they found? they found his hand laying on the seat of the chair with his palm up. He laid his hand in his Savior's lap by faith as he passed from this life. Charlie learned what it means to walk with God. Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit. Romans 7, 6 and Galatians 5, 25. Let's pray together. Lord, that's what we desire more than anything else, to have that kind of intimate relationship with you by faith. And God, I plead with you to tear down the barriers and the walls that separate us from that intimacy. God, do a new work in us because it's a new way of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, if we're lacking faith to believe you, would you give us faith, Lord, to turn to you as Lord and Savior? If we're lacking intimacy with the Holy Spirit of God as we live in this life, Lord, would you break that down in the process of believing you and understanding your word, of talking to you, of loving the way that you've commanded us to love, in the process of stopping the gratification of sin in my life, of asking, Lord, would you help us to bear fruit in our lives? And listen for your leading to us. Spirit of the living God, have your way in us. We pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.